GNC 585. It's Thursday, June 17th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Well, folks, I've had just a couple of choppy starts here. Bandwidth is not cooperating in the hotel, but for most of you, you don't care because you're listening to the show via audio. Irregardless, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Rochester, New York, via the Geek News Central portable studio. Everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. So how's everybody doing? I'm doing great. One more day here in Rochester, and then I get my butt on an airplane and I go home. So it's been a long 2 weeks on the road. I'm ready to go home and be back in the studio with my regular gear, and really not having to fight bandwidth and all the other things that go with being on the road. But I've had a great time here in Rochester. I'm going to be having a listener meetup tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at Dinosaur Barbecue in downtown Rochester. So it should be a lot of fun. Several of you have emailed me and said you're going to be in attendance. So look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Dinosaur Barbecue, again here in Rochester. Well, of course, I'm going to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being part of the family here, and thanks for staying subscribed. Of course, I want to welcome listeners in 165 countries worldwide and encourage those of you that are new or have not yet signed up for the newsletter to do so. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during tonight's show. Includes all the links that have been submitted by you. So if you want to submit something to me to cover in the show, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com is the email to send it to. Or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the most important thing is get subscribed to the show. You can find subscription links on the website either via iTunes, Zune Marketplace, an RSS feed which contains the podcast data. So get subscribed and don't ever miss an episode of the Geek News Central here. Of course, if you're watching us on the Roku or the upcoming Boxy device or Boxy platform, which is going to be actually released as a device in November, we hope that you enjoy the video portion of the show on the device. So I'm kind of curious, I'd love to get some feedback on how the video has compared for the road show as compared to the home show. I know that I need to at some point to work on these stupid graphics that are on the system that doesn't, it's just a little bit too blocky on there. But let me know what you think about the show that while I'm portable through the Roku device. I'd love to have some feedback on that. Of course, our contest continues for the submission of the new live site at live.geeknewscentral.com, which doesn't exist right now. If you go to geeknewscentral.com/live, you'll see what I consider my current live site. But we're going to look for some design and implementation of a live page, and there'll be a $250 cash reward to the person that comes up with the best design for live.geeknewscentral.com. Of course, we got the GoToMeeting contest going on, and near the end of the month, I will be reviewing submissions that I've been getting for those of you that are doing your first-time trial with GoToMeeting and how you're using it. And that basically what we'll do is we'll put everybody in a bucket, and then I'll draw one name, and you'll get 3 months' worth of your GoToMeeting subscription paid for by me. So, definitely check out GoToMeeting. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes in the show. Of course, if you have an idea and possibly even a domain to go along with it, you send me your idea and domain. And not just send me your idea, write it up, and I'll be investing in a number of, I guess for a better word, some mini startups, get some people a little bit of seed money, not a lot, to help you get started in building a site out. And so if you've got an idea, definitely drop that over to me. And, of course, it's we hope that you've got that domain registered at GoDaddy.com. Gotten some entries on that, and I'm going to be starting to do a heavy review process on those next week after I get back in Honolulu. So we'll be starting to talk about with you directly those ideas. We won't share them online. We'll just mention people's names because I don't want to give up the... Some of you have come up with some pretty good ideas, some pretty cool stuff, so I'm looking forward to that. But you can send that data into geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, ideas that are submitted are absolutely 100% confidential. And so basically it's a way for you to potentially get some seed money to get started on a website or an idea that you may have. Okay, Father's Day is just around the corner, and moms, I hope that you've got something planned for Dad. I asked my lovely wife what we were going to be doing on Sunday, and she says you've been on the road for a couple of weeks, why don't you just take a break? And so we'll see what happens. So I hope you all have something planned for your dads, and definitely keep in mind, all of us dads take care of moms on Mother's Day, so we hope that the moms take care of the fathers on Father's Day. Really, it's I think the Father's Day never ends, and Mother's Day never ends. Every day is Mother and Father's Day. Okay, anyway, we got something new tonight. Jason, who is a listener of the show, big fan of the show, who is now becoming an insider for some work he has done, I want you guys, I'm going to put a link up in the show notes today, and there's a YouTube video that I'm going to send you to that is potentially the new video intro for the Geek News Central video podcast. It uses the same theme music that I used during the show intro, but it basically puts video over the top of the actual audio track, and I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's pretty cool. Love to hear you guys' feedback on it. I have the link up to that in the show notes. And again, thanks for Jason for sending that over, and I know he's put a lot of time into this video intro. I think you're going to like it. So we'll keep you advised and get everybody we'll just take all your guys' feedback that you send in via email and provide any input we need to Jason. But I think it's pretty good. Hey, we're going to be introducing some new podcast writers to Geek News Central. As a matter of fact, Trucker Tom is going to become a new writer at GNC. And we have one other submission as well. Alex is going to become a new writer. I got to get the data over to them. So look forward to having them coming on board as contributing editors at Geek News Central. And I think that takes us up to about nine folks that are contributing periodic content to the website. One thing I do is I don't set any minimums or maximums for anyone that is actually writing for the site. I basically would rather have good content than, a high amount of quantity. So quality over quantity. And I know that the two new writers we're going to bring on is going to really add to the quality of content on the website. It is summertime, so most folks are out doing stuff, so it is a time of year where, because I don't set any minimums or maximums for folks to, for submissions, it has a tendency for me to want to ramp up folks that are going to be actually working with this and blogging at Geek News Central. So if you're interested in that, interested in becoming a writer at Geek News Central, send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. This is a paid position, and you'll be able to basically submit me some ideas on what you're going to write about or some links to some articles that you may have written in the past. Or if you want to just give your hand a try at writing tech articles and you have a passion for technology, feel free to do so. Of course, we want to make sure you check out some of the offers we have at geeknewscentral.com/offers. Of course, we want to hope that you'll consider becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. It's a great way for you to help support the show. Basically helps me develop a salary replacement plan where I can take the sponsorship money that I earn from the show and turn that into another full paid position here at GNC, and potentially another content creator. So that is the goal, is to continue to build the staff here at GNC. And for the time being, We really appreciate everyone that's helping out the show. I want to give Sam a big thank you for running the Cafe Press site over at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. Sam is an insider by the fear of fact that he's got a passion for the show. He's done a lot for GNC over since 2004. And so he's running the Ohana Store at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. So thanks for Sam. Of course, this great intro that was created by Jason today. And I know we've got some other people doing some video stuff as well and some spinoffs on logos. I got to get back with some folks that are doing some stuff for some widgets. We got a lot of stuff in work by folks that are becoming insiders. And if you have done something for the show and I don't have you on the insider list, please email me. I've been adding people to the insider list this week, going through and making sure I haven't missed anybody. But if you think you're supposed to be on the list, feel free to email me and we'll get you on that. Of course, anyone that has done stuff like for our iPhone app in the past, if I don't have you on the insider list, please email me. Now, I know Tom is still working on the actual app. I just sent him last week my ID number for my iPhone, so I think we're going to go into a beta test here shortly on the Geek News Central iPhone app. So I'm excited to see what he has put together there. You guys have saw the design, so you guys know what's coming. So I look forward to all this cool stuff coming together here in the very very near future. Still looking for someone to do an Android app as well. So if you've got skills in the Android department, definitely email me, and we'll put you to work. Okay, the Lenovo ThinkCenter A63 giveaway is going to happen right after, I think I start the contest on July 2nd. So I'll announce the official dates, but I believe it's July 2nd is what they've got scheduled for me. So if you want a Lenovo ThinkCenter A63 with two monitors, you're going to definitely want to be tuned in. I'll be announcing what we're going to be doing for a contest, and we've got a very short window to give that away. So I want you guys all to be ramped up and ready, because I want one of you, one of the listeners of this show, to win that ThinkCenter. And it's a nice computer. It's got Windows 7 on it, pretty powerful machine. So that'll be going to one of the Ohana. And so anyway, we'll be announcing that what the actual contest is going to be here in about another week. Of course, if you're a fan of the show, make sure you change your Wi-Fi SSID to geeknewscentral.com. All right, let's take care of a little business and let's get into the tech content. That's what you all have came for, and I've talked way, way too long. You know, if you have a smartphone, you should remember, or if you didn't know already, you have 24/7 access to GoDaddy. GoDaddy has a free iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry app that makes it easy to manage your domains or even register new ones. You can still use my promo codes right over your phone, so you can always get the best deals even if you're on the go. So, you know, I've had many times I've been thinking about, oh man, there's a domain that I think would be good, and I don't want to, you know, right there in the spur of the moment, I want to do it. And I've used their app for a while now, and to register domains and do management of my account. So, you know, you can download GoDaddy's free iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry app to order right from your phone. Again, manage your current domains and more. And, of course, save with the promo codes from Geek News Central using my promo code TOP10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. Now, you've got 2 short weeks before .com domains go up in price. So make sure you use that promo code COMSALE to renew your .coms now before the price goes up. Save yourself a few bucks if you've got a number of domains, because again, it's going up net wide. All the registers are going to be increasing the pricing, and it's just it's one of those things that happens from time to time. The primary register of all the .coms or the internet, whatever the TLID or whatever they call them, they are raising the price, so all of the other registers have to follow suit. You know, I started using GoToMeeting really 6 years ago to hold meetings online, do presentations. A lot of times I spend them in demos for podcasters to actually get them ready for advertising campaigns. And really, it saved me a lot of time, and really it saved me a lot of money as well. As you guys know, GoToMeeting, who's brought to you by my friends at Citrix, is really the most secure way to hold an online meeting. You know, you can have your first meeting running in seconds. Everyone simply logs on to the website at gotomeeting.com. You give them a little code to actually come into the website, to come into your meeting, and they see your computer desktop on, they see your computer desktop on their computer screen. So you can show them really what you've been talking about and what, you know. So I want you to give this thing a try. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos, and it's affordable. It's only $49 a month. You hold as many meetings as you want. Even includes a phone. Yes, yeah, so you can do voice over IP conferencing free. And sometimes I just use the GoToMeeting session for a voice IP connection, and that's worked out real handy. And sometimes I've actually done one on the go where I'm actually driving and someone else is, my team is holding the meeting, and I can actually dial into a number as well. So they're showing, you know, we're doing a demo where like Angelo's driving the screen. I'm actually talking about stuff. And the client doesn't even really know that Angelo is the one controlling the screen. The client almost thinks they're looking at what I'm showing them. And, but I can be mobile. So you can use it in a variety of different ways. Again, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited, again, unlimited online meetings free by going to gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. And I want to thank Citrix for being a longtime sponsor here. And, of course, thank GoDaddy as well. All right, let me go ahead and get into the content. We got some good stuff tonight, folks. We really do. And let me go ahead here and load up Chrome. And I got so many tabs on this thing, I had to get rid of a number of them. Now, those of you that are Xbox 360, you guys excited about Kinetic? I saw a demo of this where, for those of you that are actually watching right now on Ustream, it actually showed one of the, I guess it's one of the car driving games. And I guess it's actually called Forza. F-O-R-Z-A is the actual name of the title. I don't know if it's a Formula One or whatever it is. But anyway, the guy has got his hand stuck out in front of him. And I don't know how he's controlling speed. I don't fully understand it yet. But he's actually driving the car with his hands, and he's touching nothing. And I was kind of like, wow. Well, that was pretty cool. But, you know, it kind of looks kind of silly, but everyone says it just, it makes sense. So, it beats me. I don't know how the gaming community is going to take off to this because, you know, hardcore gamers, they've got a, you know, they've got a desk, maybe they've got a steering wheel and a shifter, and, you know, it'll be curious. I mean, maybe this is, you know, this is Xbox's way of trying to compete with the Wii. I don't know, but... just seeing what they were doing and with this, I thought, you know, irregardless, you know, I'm not a gamer. I'm going to wreck. I'm going to wreck, die, or, you know, my kids laugh at me because gaming is not my thing. I get my butt kicked by my kids anytime we try to do something. And so I'm sure this is not going to help me at all because I have this great eye-hand coordination knot. So, looks like this could be some cool stuff for those of you that are Xbox 360 fans. All right, hey, you know, every domain name, every phone really is connected to the internet via an IP. You know, every phone, this phone, when it's online, has an IP. It may go through, it may not have its own unique IP, but generally they do. But right now, the IPv4 addresses are really quickly declining. There's only 623 million IPs left under IPv4. And the Internet Assigned Number Authority is currently giving out more addresses. And these are, you know, these are going quickly. But what's left are kind of like, for a better word, what's being called like almost garbage blocks of IPs. Just recently, they handed out some blocks to a company in Asia, and it was the actual 1-dot series. And this is kind of like the bottom of the pile of IP addresses. And they were actually having challenges because no one ever figured this block of IPs would be given out. And what's happened is a lot of companies have built stuff into their infrastructure that would use some of these IPs, And they were seeing huge, after they turned them on to this Asian country, they saw a whole bunch of really unusable traffic coming through when they weren't even assigning any domains or anything else to the block of IPs yet. And they had 150 megs a bits per second of assorted traffic before these things were even issued. So I don't fully understand how people were actually using those without them being issued. Irregardless, there's a, right now, a lot of companies still have not implemented IPv6, which once implemented is going to give really us an unlimited, I shouldn't say unlimited, but should tide us over for many, many, many years. So many companies are still not ready for IPv6. Now, I know all my servers are ready for IPv6, but at some point here in the very near future, this IP thing is going to come to a head, and they're going to have to make the transition. So if you are, if you're working with a company and you guys aren't IPv6 ready, you need to start asking some questions. Hey, we're a couple of years behind the power curve here. We need to get up and get rolling. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But it is kind of curious that we're down to six. It sounds like a big number, 638 million or whatever it is. 623 million are left. But that's not a lot. And they figure sometime within the next couple of years, we're going to be running out. So make sure you're ready for IPv6. Okay, a little bit on the music industry. These guys, they like to pound a company when they're down. LimeWire is again continues to take a beating here from the music industry as eight members of the National Music Publishers Association, the NIMP, excuse me, NMPA, have filed a new lawsuit against the company. The organization, and I wasn't even familiar with who these guys were. This is another company that's another RIAA wannabe, I guess. But the National Music Publishers Association have announced lawsuits during its annual meeting in New York, saying that LimeWire has facilitated pervasive online infringement and that it's affected everyone in the music industry. Here's the thing. They can shut LimeWire down tomorrow. It can go away. LimeWire as a company can go vanish from the face of the earth. But guess what? The LimeWire software is on the internet. There's nothing that can control it. It doesn't run through a centralized server. So even if LimeWire goes away, there's no way to contain LimeWire. If you have LimeWire loaded on your computer, if LimeWire went out of business immediately, you still, if you were using this to, do peer-to-peer activities that were illegal, you would still be able to do that. Now, again, I don't advocate folks going out and, basically stealing content that they are not entitled to, they haven't paid to. I believe in paying as I go, I mean, buying music. But here we have EMI, Sony, Universal, Warner, MPL, Music Publishing, Peer Music, and whoever the Richmond organization is, who has filed another lawsuit against LimeWire. So, I don't know if LimeWire is going to survive, but really, it doesn't matter. They can sue this company till the cows come home, and if you've got LimeWire sitting on your computer, you can load it even after they go out of business, and it'll still work. Now, here's an interesting comment that's been made by Verizon today. Verizon has said Comcast peer-to-peer blocking was wrong. In other words, remember a year and a half ago when Comcast was throttling traffic, and of course they got slapped down by the FCC, and it started this whole battle with the, a little bit about policy implementation we'll talk about a little later that's is starting to work its way through the FCC. But Verizon, who of course is not a fan of the FCC's proposed third-party approach to network neutrality, and also doesn't like the plan FCC to change ISP statuses, have said, basically came out and said this. We came up with a standard that says any of other players, now they're working with Google on this, they've teamed with Google, Verizon has. They says, we come up with a standard that says any of the players on the internet should not do anything that harms users or competition. Was made by a statement by a guy by the name of Link Howing, who is a Verizon policy executive, He went on to say the company has no wish to go down the Comcast peer-to-peer blocking route. He goes on to say, and I think that's a pretty important policy principle, because what it says is that take the Comcast case, in that case, they were using reset packets, and it clearly did harm a lot of users. They were not able to use the internet, some of them, so that principally basically said you can't do that kind of thing, even if it's a network management to deal with congestion problems. That's not appropriate. So in other words, this guy says what Comcast was doing was not appropriate. He says, real weird way of explaining it, but anyway, he basically, in a nutshell, saying that Verizon does never want to go down, but what they're trying to do now is, the cows are already out of the barn, or the horses are loose, or whatever you want to call it. The FCC has got a, laser-guided missile headed towards these companies to try to come up with a viable network neutrality rule, or something that can be implemented through basically rules implemented by the FCC. So Verizon and all these other groups are trying to real quickly come up with some sort of coalition that says we're not going to do this. We'll see. We'll see what happens with this over time. But Comcast could have headed this all off if they wouldn't have been so doggone greedy and misguided in their approach that they took in basically filtering peer-to-peer users. Irregardless if it was right or wrong, there are valid reasons for using peer-to-peer. And I think what we're going to see is peer-to-peer being used, or BitTorrent being used a lot more in these over-the-top boxes as a way to distribute video. The closer you can get it to the users, the internal networks of those users can deliver it a lot quicker than it can from, further pop out. So we'll see. Now, over on Ars Technica, there's a Law and Disorder article saying that net neutrality could lead to devastating job loss. And a new study was released by the New York Law School of Advanced Communications Law and Policy. The assessment was titled Net Neutrality Investments in Jobs, has really slammed the FCC's proposed net neutrality rules as destabilizing and suggests that could place the nation's economy at even greater risk. So this is an interesting take from this law school. They say the passage of such rules could have devastating impacts across the ecosystem between 2010 and 2015. The assessment comes as the FCC released a notice of inquiry today on its open internet proposals and AT&T's threat that such proposals could cause it to downgrade its investment in its U-verse IP video network. The group has basically said that the wireless and wireline broadband could suffer huge investment loss as consequences of the rules. Approximately a 10% drop in investment could rob the United States of 502,000 jobs with a $62 billion impact on GDP. Now, I don't know how they fully figured out these numbers. I'm going to have to go through and read their entire policy report. But this notice of inquiry that was put out by the FCC today basically is looking for feedback and input on its... this is the first step that they're going to go through in a process to hopefully have some sort of rules, or potentially have some sort of rules. Now, we're going to have to get a little more into this because there's going to be a timeline which people are going to have to be able to, or have time to reply to this notice of inquiry. I've only got but to it in the show notes, and I'll read up over it on the weekend to get a better feel for it. But I guess I'm kind of curious what everyone thinks of the FCC's potential here for, basically implementing net neutrality rules. Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? I'd love to hear your feedback at geeknews@gmail.com. Or do you think that these businesses should be allowed to sort it out themselves? Now, this comes on heels of additional news that came out of AT&T today that they have just wrapped up broadband metering tests. Now, did we talk about AT&T doing broadband metering tests? I don't ever remember we knew that Time Warner was doing tests, and then they got crucified because of their statements on where they were going with broadband caps, or the potential broadband caps. And then I don't ever remember hearing about AT&T talking about doing metering test. But what's interesting is they have wrapped up at some point in the near distant past, I guess that's a better way to say it, they wrapped up these metering tests and then announced their reduction of bandwidth allotments for iPhone users. Are those tied together? So if AT&T wrapped up their metering tests and then implemented metered, this basically going from unlimited allowable bandwidth on our iPhones to, limiting us to 2 gigs for new customers or people with new contracts, maybe they, what they've determined is they can't sustain the amount of bandwidth we're all using and going to, punish us and basically do through these new implementations. So it is curious that I just don't remember. Do you guys ever remember me talking about? Because I was trying to look through my index at Geek News Central today to try to see if I could find where I had talked about this in the past. We cover so much stuff on the show that I could have talked about it, but I just don't remember doing that. But TechDirt has the article on this talking about what AT&T has, them basically not doing any more metering tests. But again, they've just announced policy changes that could have been affected by those exact metering tests. So I guess if a company's going to do any type of metering test, they need to keep quiet about it. All right, let's change gears here a little bit. I'm a big fan of AOL, and I say that sarcastically, but Bebo has been sold by AOL just 2 years after acquisition. Many, many years ago, when AOL was mailing all of us CDs every week, and I think many of us probably got thousands of CDs from AOL in the mail to try to get us to sign up for their service during dial-up days. I always really, because I'm a purist, I was always trying to teach folks how to get on the internet without using AOL. And some people really didn't get it. Now, the times have changed, obviously, over the past 10 years. And so I was never a big fan of AOL. So now, they're talking about hiring journalists. That's one thing that they've got in their plan. They're going to try to become a quote-unquote news organization, I guess. Talk about reinventing yourself. But this company that they bought 2 years ago for, someone was saying $850 million, has been sold to some Criterion Capital Partners, which is a small private investment firm, and they did not disclose the amount paid, but analysts are suspecting it was just a fraction of the price that AOL paid for Bebo in 2008. Now, of course, if I was the founder of Bebo, man, I tell you, I guess you got your money and got out of town quick, but can you imagine that? Buying something for $850 million and then just selling it 2 years later at a massive loss. It'd be curious to see what AOL's write-off on their earnings report is. Of course, many of you probably have tried to order a new iPhone, and how many run into issues? AT&T has shut off sales for the Update 4, and the pre-orders hit 600,000. They sold 600,000 units in 1 day. I guess people were having all kinds of trouble getting on AT&T site or even doing it through Apple. And it was a record for the company. And of course, it imposed a major strain on their computer system. And they had to suspend sales midday. People were getting other people's invoices. They were getting to each other's accounts. It was a mess. But it definitely tells you the demand for the iPhone version 4, it has not waned. Now, one thing, I was talking with a guy today, and he's, "Oh, I'm going to get 4G with the iPhone 4." I said, "No. No, I said, this is version 4. You're not getting 4G with iPhone 4." And he kind of looked at me kind of funny. So make sure you guys, when you're out there, you guys are Akamai, you guys are up to speed on what's going on. Make sure that you tell people, "Hey, you're not getting a 4G phone. You're getting version 4 of the phone, okay, or iOS 4 as they're titling it." Now, there's a new version of iTunes to download. So, if you want to get the upgrade, for those of you 3GS users or 3GS owners, you'll get the operating system upgrade next week, or but you got to have iTunes, the new iTunes loaded in order to get it. And they're changing the way they're going to be pushing the software into the phone, and I don't know if this is a basically a way to try to prevent people from jailbreaking the phone. I don't know, so we'll have to see what goes on there. Now, there is renewed rumors out that Verizon is working on a CDMA phone and that it's going to be due at quarter four. So that would be a big, big surprise. You know, that's back on the rumor mill, and CNET's been carrying pretty heavy coverage on this today, talking about this is a very high potential that Verizon may be on. So Verizon users or Verizon customers, those of you that are on a Verizon mobile system, hold your breath. It may be coming yet. So if you're getting ready to pull the trigger, maybe it might be time just to cool your heels for, you know, another month or so and see what we hear through the rumor grapevine. Samsung announced today they're going to ship a 512 gig solid state drive. And boy, I was looking all over the place to figure out what the pricing on that would be. And this is pretty exciting. This is, as far as I know, the biggest solid state drive that is going to be available yet. The price on this thing is, if you look at Apple's site, and where basically where CNET found information on possible pricing was that the 512 gig solid state drive may be as much as $1,300. So not cheap, but I'm sure prices are going to come down very, very quickly on this. But they could not provide locked in pricing yet. But these are going to be available very, very soon. As a matter of fact, next month they're going to be available, so we'll know what the pricing is when they come out. But 512 gigs, around $1,300 is pretty crazy money, even for a solid-state drive at this point. Okay, article over on device.com, device.com. If you are a Xbox user and you're buying the new Xbox 360, it suffers the same issues as some of the older Xboxes do, that if you have a disc in the unit and it is plugged in, do not move the unit. Okay, the new really designed Xbox 360 still shares one problem. If you move the box while it's got a disc in it, you may basically destroy the disc, so be careful, okay? And this is by the folks over at device.com. And I didn't know that this was actually an issue that plagued prior Xbox 360s. Those of you that submit a lot of short videos to YouTube, put on a new, basically it's an editing feature. What you can do in its initial form here, the video editor allows us to do the following. Combine multiple videos to create a new longer video. You can trim the beginning and or ending of videos. You can add soundtracks from YouTube's audio swap library and create new videos online with no uploading requirements. These are some pretty cool features, and I haven't played with it yet. Did see a demo of it, but we'll see what happens here. Now, it'd be nice if they start opening up and allowing people to do a little longer videos without director accounts. Now, people often ask me, Todd, how do you upload an hour and 15-minute video to YouTube? And I was lucky that in the very early days of YouTube, I was able to get a director's account, which really has no upload. Well, basically, I have to the file cannot be bigger than a gig. It has to be 999 megs. Anything bigger than that, and they kick it out. But I'm really not constrained by length, but I'm just constrained by size of the actual file. Okay, we talked a couple of weeks ago about Iridium. Iridium is going to be starting to punch up some new telecommunication satellites. Iridium has chosen SpaceX to launch satellites. This is big news for SpaceX. SpaceX has signed a $492 million deal to carry the Iridium communication mobile telecommunication satellites into space starting in 2015. And the deal represents the largest single commercial launch deal ever signed, which is very, very true. The company did not say how many launch aboard SpaceX's new Falcon 9 rocket, which will carry Iridium's payloads from Vandenberg Air Force Base, but the deal covers a two-year period starting in 2015. Of course, this is part of a $2.9 billion upgrade of the Iridium system. I think it was like 90, was it 90 some satellites that they've got to put up, or was it 40 some? But of course, SpaceX is a private company founded by the co-founder of PayPal. So I'm telling you, our little commissions that we pay on PayPal every time we do a exchange with them has definitely made that guy rich. All right, those of you that are programmers or developers out there, Apple has opened Safari to extensions. So Safari 5 gained official support for extensions last week, and developers have really wasted no time in releasing a number of enhancements. Of course, Apple announced at Safari's release that it would open a Safari extension gallery, and that is now open for business. So I was not aware of this, and I didn't know if you guys were as well. I have a link up to the show notes to the actual gallery, and you guys can check it out for those of you that are longtime Safari users. Over on Slashdot, those of you that are government employees and get a government phone, the Supreme Court today, in a 9-0 ruling, has decided that government employers are entitled to examine all text messages sent with government-provided devices, even if the employee has agreed to pay for any excess message charges out of his or her own pocket. While the ruling only applies to government employees at all levels, it may give private sector employees something to think about when using employer-provided devices, because I'm sure that's going to come next. So if you are a government employee and you are sending text messages with that phone that are of a personal nature, Uncle Sam is within their right, according to his 9-0 ruling, to basically look at your text in the context of those text messages. That would, just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Someone must have gotten fired or something for something they did with their government-provided cell phone. I think we all know that there was a big hoorah when the President Obama came into office about wanting a BlackBerry, and they worked real hard to get him a BlackBerry that he could be used, it could be secure. I don't think the President's probably doing too many text messages to private people, but it will become part of the public record at some point in the future. All right, if you live in California, this kind of makes me kind of say, a little bit. You know, California has its issues from time to time, just like any other state. And apparently, they've been using for a number of years these GPS trackers that are basically ankle bracelets that go on people on probation. It's folks that are maybe like sex offenders that have been released on probation. A whole bunch of different types of folks that are in probation have been forced to wear these. I think the one that Lindsay Lohan has is the one that detects alcohol. And I don't know if it's got a GPS on it, but it basically calls how many times she takes a swig of alcohol. But the since 2004, this pilot program to track those that have been released has been in place. But apparently, while they spent all this money to do this tracking of sex offenders and those that are been convicted of violent crimes and so forth that are out on probation, apparently, when folks are cutting these off, are going within 2,000 feet of schools or places where they're not supposed to be, and the system alerts the authorities, there's been thousands of incidences where violations have been registered, but officials say that the backlog of incidents grew so large they weren't able to handle it. So supervisors in Southern California are now only working with reports of new alarms rather than reports showing previous alarms that had not been cleared. Now, a couple of years ago, someone that was a sexual offender, I believe, killed a couple of people after that individual cut off their tracker. And it still took them 24 hours to put out a arrest warrant for this guy. And, the state is paying, it's costing $9,500 a year for each of these. And they're not even using them. They have a 7,000 people that are actually using these. 7,000 paroled sex offenders are using these devices. Gang members, violent crime, the people that have been released on violent crimes on parole. Is this nuts? They got a system, yet the system is so hard to use that they're not able to generate reports or arrest warrants or whatever. It's crazy. It's really absolutely insane. If I was a taxpayer paying for this in California, I'd be outraged. Anyway, I have the link up to it in the show notes for you to check. Just, you know, great technology, great idea, but absolutely poor execution. I think we could probably say the same thing about what's going on in the Gulf with BP. Did you guys see any of his testimony today? I watched about an hour of it. The guy, oh, I don't know if anybody's guilty. We haven't fired anybody yet. We're waiting on the report. I can't say that the procedures we used were bad. He definitely had been schooled by his lawyers. He might as well not had come to Congress, but went to that hearing committee today. But I will say, at least the high majority of the Republicans and Democrats were on the same page, except for this guy in Texas who apologized. I'd like to get into politics on this show, you know, but, you know, Exxon, when the Exxon Valdez had its spill, you know, claimants waited years and years and years and years for compensation. I will give the president credit in getting the $20 billion in escrow for claims, the initial deposit for claims that will be able to, you know, be issued out to people that they have claims and also, you know, state expenses and so forth. But I don't know if you guys saw this on the news, but this guy apologized. He's basically saying it was extortion. The president extorted money out of BP. Now, I think BP needs to pay for their mess. But he later retracted his statements. But I don't know. I don't know if this guy's district is in Houston or where it is. But I think we all are pretty, you know, hoping that this thing gets capped and something, you know, gets. It's just a mess. It really is. It's heartbreaking. Now, this article blew me away. I have not heard about this in the past, and I must have missed this when it was reported before. But a children's hospital is now being allowed to continue research using a system it developed after a patent fight. This is crazy. Children's Hospital of Orange County, California had to shelve research into brain diseases for children for 3 years because a company called Stem Cells claimed to have a patent on the technique the researchers at the hospital were using. Now, the researchers at this hospital had developed the technique entirely independently on their own, but due to the patent, apparently that didn't matter. So for 3 years, they have not been able to continue research into brain diseases for children because of a patent. Finally, Stem Cells has relented, and Children's Hospital of Orange County have worked out an agreement to give the hospital a license for free. Now, can you imagine if some company had a patent? Let's look at AIDS. Let's look at tuberculosis. Let's talk about cancer. Can you imagine if some group was making terrific advances into a cure for cancer, a permanent cure for AIDS, to be held up from doing additional research because of a patent? It's pretty ridiculous. And it's even more disgusting that it revolves around research that would help children. 3 years, this company. So this Stem Cell company, Stem Cells is the actual name of the company, is, in my opinion, the big loser of the week. We have to, something has to be done about this patent system. It really, really does. Especially when it affects the health and welfare of people throughout the world. Okay, link up in the show notes here. Those of you up in Canada, check this out. As a matter of fact, I might go over to Niagara tomorrow midday. Haven't been over Niagara Falls in years. Might go over to Niagara for a little while tomorrow. Don't think I'm going to cross over, but check this out. A grassroots citizen group. Now, hear what I said here. A grassroots citizen group who is supporting the Canadian DMCA is actually is an AstroTurf site set up by U.S. record labels. this is pretty funny. Sad but funny. So this grassroots citizen group, again, who's supporting the Canadian DMCA, is no more than a front for major labels here in the United States. How's that make you feel up there? All of the members of its site were executives at big record labels. And shortly after they found this link, the membership list disappeared. So I'm sure that you guys will love that. You know, these companies, they just work in the mysterious ways, right? Look over there. Look over there. Look over here. Look over there. Or we really don't want you to... You just can't believe anybody these days. All right, Soyuz spacecraft carrying three new ISS crew members lifted off from Kazakhstan on Wednesday. The Soyuz rocket lifted off from Baikonur Cosmodrome, 5:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the TMA-19 spacecraft into orbit a short few minutes later. So we're going to have the three will join the three current crew members of the station. So we'll be back up to a total number of six folks. But good launch, and I think they're going to dock with the ISS sometime tomorrow. All right, let me go ahead and bring this up. Belkin's coming out with some cool products. It's called the Belkin Conserve line of products. And you can find this by just Google Belkin Conserve. And these are available for pre-order. The Conserve Insight is a device that tracks your actual electrical usage and tells you how many kilowatts you're using and how much it's basically how much a device is costing you on a yearly basis. It also calculates CO2 emissions. They've got some other devices like some smart power strips and so forth. Basically, what the smart power strip does is you have your TV plugged into the green plug, and then you have all your peripherals that go along with your TV plugged into the extra devices or the extra plugs on the strip. When you turn your TV off, the Belkin power strip detects that you're not using your TV anymore and shuts off all the other switches on the device. So it removes power completely from the actual units. So this is pretty exciting stuff here, and I'm glad to see some of this stuff coming out. The Conserve products are going to start to ship in mid-July. Will range in price from $9.99 to $39.99, and there's a gallery of all the devices on the page here at Engadget. A lot of the stuff that we saw at CES is finally starting to make it to market, and I'm definitely going to be investing in some of these products in order to lower my electricity bill. Hey, Clearwire has introduced new WiMAX mobile hotspots that are Mac-friendly, 3G and 4G USB WWN modems, or WAN wide area network modems. One of them is a USB plug, and one actually looks kind of like a little MiFi device. So those are available if you are in a Clearwire 4G area. You'll be able to pick one of these up. Prices of them are a little bit hefty. You might be able to get one on a new contract for free. All right, Japan Space Surfing Solar Sail, we talked about in the last show, has been photographed. So this is exciting stuff here. The Japanese are going to set the solar sail on a course outbound. They're going to see if it picks up speed over time and how well this technology actually works. It's been given 5 months to prove its worth as it heads towards the planet Venus we'll see what happens if this thing actually goes outbound as it's described and how much speed it picks up in the 5 months of its planned testing period. So I got a link up in the show notes for that for you too. How many of you thinking about buying a Chevy Volt? You know, the Volt is great for those of you that are living, basically have very short commutes And the first 4,400 volt owners are going to get free charging stations. And this is a $2,000 value. Imagine this, buying a car, and then you have to buy a $2,000 charger to go along with it. No, when you buy the car as it is now, in its current configuration, you don't get a free charger. You get to drive it home, and then you got to go back to the dealer and pick up a charger for another $2,000. So if you're going to buy a Chevy Volt, the first 2,000 people are going to charger with it. Oh, funny. What happened to be able to just plug them in the wall? Oh, man. Hey, there's a pretty cool space image just come out of, it's really the sharpest deep space picture ever taken from Earth. And they got a comparison of the Hubble image of one area and then the Earth-based telescope from another. And this is pretty cool. Arizona's Large Binocular Telescope has been able to really produce some remarkable images, very close to the quality of the Hubble. And they actually use a filter. It's a 0.06 inch thin secondary meter that can be warped or subtly manipulated into different shapes to correct incoming light that's been bent by the atmosphere. So it says the mirror can make adjustments 10 nanometers every thousandth of a second. With those constant corrections, the LBT's 27.6-foot mirrors can get a clear shot into the cosmos. Exciting stuff. Very cool. And scientists are always coming up with new stuff. Very good. Hey, how many of you are on Time Warner and have been trying to watch a World Cup on ESPN3 stream? How many of you been on AT&T or Comcast or Cox? Had no problems? Well, don't worry. You weren't supposed to have any problems. But if you're an Earthlink customer, if you're a Sonic.net customer or a Time Warner Cable customer, and you tried to go to the ESPN3 website, they didn't allow browsing because they basically said, hey, you don't belong here. We don't have a licensing agreement with your provider. So you weren't able to watch the World Cup, at least streamed over the internet, if you're a Time Warner customer from the ESPN3 website. And I'm not a sports fan. I haven't watched any of the World Cup. Of course, I've heard about these horns that they've been blowing. They're using some technology on TV to try to reduce the noise that's coming through the television sets, but through some filters. But, you know, that's about my extent of watching what's going on with the World Cup. Okay, some questions being raised if Silicon Valley is pricing itself out of being the center of the tech universe. Glassdoor.com did a report on tech industry's average base salaries talking about locations. And I'm just going to talk about overall averages here, and then not based on experience, because, of course, the price goes up dramatically over time depending on where you live. But if you live in Chicago, an average of $68,000 a year salaries are. In Los Angeles, $68,000. New York, $78,000. San Francisco Bay Area, $94,000. Seattle, $78,000. And Washington, D.C., $77,000. So they think right now, based upon salary, that both Chicago and Los Angeles are due for an influx of tech companies based upon average salary ranges. And but it evens out pretty close across all the communities except for Silicon Valley for folks with 10 or more years experience. But they say the migration away from the Valley is going to be because, for one, it's very high to expensive to live there. You know, many folks that work in the tech industry in Silicon Valley have to travel more than an hour because they can't afford to live in San Jose or the surrounding areas, or et cetera. And they say that probably what's going to happen is the Silicon Valley is at very high risk of losing a lot of tech jobs just because it's $40,000 a year cheaper at the highest earning levels to hire someone in Chicago versus Silicon Valley. It's a pretty crazy difference in price. Hey, we're on Scoble's website. Why does searching for Twitter list suck so much? And I don't know if I've searched for a list on Twitter, but he gives a link here to a variety of sites that you can use to search list, and have this up for you. If you follow a variety of lists or want to find more lists, you'll be able to gets Square to and where to go with this article from Scoble. Hey, WordPress version 3.0 has been released today. Talked with Angela a little bit this afternoon. We should be good to go with PowerPress. I know that a number of people have tested PowerPress on version 3. If you do an upgrade to WordPress 3.0 and you have any issues with PowerPress whatsoever, please, please, please contact us immediately. But right now, we think we're good. We have. I'm going to upgrade Geek News Central tomorrow and see how it goes. But this is the 13th major release of WordPress, and this is a culmination of nearly half a year's work by 218 contributors. 1,217 bug fixes have been taken care of, and along with feature enhancements as well. And so far, good response on this. So if you have any issues with PowerPress, maybe you're still using PodPress. I'm kind of curious to know if WordPress 3 destroys PodPress further than it already is being destroyed. But let us know if you have any issues with PowerPress for sure. If you're a Hotmail user, or you haven't been using Hotmail for years, there's a good article over on lifehacker.com talking about how does the new Hotmail stack up to Gmail, and it goes by point basis on what Gmail has done to really differentiate itself from Gmail. I'm not going to go through all these. I'm not a big Hotmail fan because every time I send email to anyone on Hotmail, it goes MIA, and I just have not had good luck getting email to folks on Hotmail. So if you email the show and I reply to you and you don't get it, well, you will never know anyway because you don't know that I sent you anything. But that's my biggest issue with Hotmail is it just has not worked well. How many of you have bought an HTC Area from AT&T? Of course, the HTC Area is running on Android. AT&T is becoming another great neighbor, just like, you know, they continue to make great headlines. They've locked down the Android, specifically the HTC Area, and no longer is it jailbroke, for say, but they've got it locked, and I really don't know what AT&T's issue is. I really don't. Trucker Tom, I know you are a big fan of the Sprint EVA 4G phone, but not a real positive review. Well, a semi-positive review on the New York Times today, and it gets to the Area, talks about 4G reception. And as I've been telling you guys on the show, 4G reception is very, very limited across the country. Luckily, we have 4G in Hawaii. I had good 4G reception in Dallas, but beyond that, I have not had very many locations that have had 4G reception. Las Vegas, maybe. If you are living in not a major city and you're expecting to get 4G reception, don't be surprised when there's no signal. So, you know, at some point they'll roll 4G on your area, but if you're expecting to get all that speed, make sure you check the area you're living in and that they have coverage. Okay, just as a reminder again, tomorrow, 6 p.m., Dinosaur Barbecue, 99 Court Street, Rochester, New York, will be the listener meetup is. I'm buying dinner, so I hope that you'll come out and join me. It should be a fun time for all. And if you have comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, again, that number again is 619-342-7365. I got a couple of comments that came in from the show. And, of course, I want to thank Jason again for his work on the YouTube intro video. We'll have that up in the show notes for you tonight. But I got an email from Frank on Opera. And this is a good review for those of you that haven't used Opera before. He said, "Hey, Todd, I've been using Opera for at least a decade. I started in the shareware days. Quick and dirty summary of why I like it. Small footprint, especially in view of its capabilities. Fast, not always the fastest, but always fast. Highly configurable. Built-in RSS newsreader for text news groups, not good for binary ones. Email client and IRC client. The news group and email client support multiple news and mail servers. All the places I'm likely to be are in one place and not scattered amongst several different programs. Number 5, eye appeal. Easily skinnable. Number 6, cross-platform. I can easily port from my Linux to Windows computers. By the way, it looks the same on either platform, unlike Firefox. There are more, but those are the main reasons. By the way, contrary to rumor, Opera, not Firefox, invented tab browsing. Opera is always innovative. I'm currently using 10.0. 10.10 for Linux. When 10.50 for Windows came out, Opera tried to do several new things and seems to have had some problems. 10.6 for Windows was out, but the new Linux version is not. They seem to be trying to solve the problems before releasing the updated Linux version. In the past, the Windows and Linux versions have come out within a day or two of each other. If anyone's interested in more, I've written several blog posts about Opera at Geekazine. So, you're writing over at Geekazine, Frank? How come you're not writing over at Geek News Center, my friend? Okay, let's see here. What else did I get? I think that's it. Just two emails this week. So kind of short on emails. I've gotten a number of private emails from folks on some other topics. Thanks for those. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, next show back in Honolulu. Okay? And really looking forward to going home. And should be home for a while. I'm hoping that I'm going to be home. Let me look at the calendar. I'm hoping I'm going to be home at least 4 weeks. And I don't expect I have to go anywhere. Maybe even not until the end of July, which would be really awesome to be home 4 or 5 weeks straight. Today is officially my 60th day in a hotel this year. I've already racked up 82,000 frequent flyer miles for the year, and it's only June. So it's a time to go home and take a little bit of a break and not be on the road so much. I've had a very productive time here in Rochester. Look forward to meeting up with Sal and, oh boy, was it James tomorrow night at Dinosaur. And sure to have a great report on that on a Monday show. Now, don't forget, I will not be up on Ustream at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you want to catch the live show from the studio in Honolulu, you're going to have to stay up later. We'll get started about 2 a.m. Yes, 2 a.m. Eastern or 11 p.m. Pacific time. We'll get to going about 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time for those of you in Hawaii. But thanks for being part of the family, being part of the show. Looking for feedback from all of you on the show and how things have been going. And I look forward to having our new contributors at Geek News Central writing for the site. Lots of stuff coming, folks. There's lots of stuff coming down the pike here. Hey, I also want to remind you that, as you guys noticed over on Geek News Central, that we've got Matrix Direct as a sponsor now. And if you're looking for insurance and a way to secure your family at a great price, matrixdirect.com/podcast. And some disclaimers apply there. It's not all offers are not available in all areas. But again, makesitcorrect.com/podcast. Just click the link on the website. Check out the great deal. They do have some very good prices. But other than that, that's it, folks. Everyone take care. You have a great weekend. And fathers, have a good Father's Day. Hope you get some good tools and some good guy stuff. if it's like years past, my wife is just going to say, just go buy your own present. And if you, for those of you that are older, and this is for everybody, as you guys all know, I lost Dad over 3 years, 3 years ago. And if you have a dad and he is living, don't forget your dads out there, okay? Life is too short. Take care. Call him on the phone. Tell him how much you love him, and so forth. And it's important that that you do. Everyone, take care. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you back in Honolulu for the show Monday night for Tuesday morning release of the podcast. Everyone, take care. And aloha.